It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
The best segment that exists on the Homer. This is the Brian Bulaga Homer Hour with Jason Wilde. And the kindness part of the Homer Hour, Brian Bulaga's Homer Hour, takes over.
Jason, good evening, man. How are you doing?
I am great. I get to talk to you. I spent 3 hours with Homer. He didn't fall asleep this morning, although it was close, I think, at one point. So I am great. I'm sorry to, again, intercede with your usual time, and you have to share it with me. But big season finale for softball last night, and I couldn't be on the program. So thanks for clearing some time for me to join you.
Of course. Anytime, if you ask me. But first 3 days of camp, I know I was on with you on your program when you just got down to practice. But overall, first 3 days, what impressed you the most over the first 3 days? Or, you know, player-wise or unit-wise, what did you take away from the first 3 days?
Yeah, I'll be honest. The thing that's impressed me the most is Jordan Love. That he did the difficult thing. I was talking with Kyle Wallace on KBN earlier, and he was getting after Jordan for being selfish. And again, I understand everyone wants Jordan Love to be practicing, but I think what I don't want to use the word brave, because I reserve that for people that do way more important things than play football or talk on the radio, but he did the difficult thing, and I know that going against, quote-unquote, the fan base, which there are some, I think there's plenty of fans that understand it, but, you know, the fact that his teammates have his back on this, to me, is the biggest thing, because if they were really ticked off, then maybe we'd have something to talk about, but the fact that he has done this to make sure that he looks out for his own best interest, instead of just doing what everyone wanted him to, which was report to camp and practice, I think he's handled it extremely well. So that, to me, is impressive. He's had everything. I mean, he stood in the pouring rain when he wasn't practicing to join everyone else going through practice, even though he could have gone inside the Hudson Center. Now, from the actual on-field stuff, you know, I was impressed with Rashawn Gary for that during 11-on-11 the other day. But again, you and I have talked about this a bunch. It's still not in pads, all that kind of stuff. I've been really impressed with Evan Williams, who's the fourth round pick from Oregon, who is competing with Javon Bullard to win the starting safety job next to Xavier McKinney. He had another pick yesterday, so he's off to a strong start despite being drafted 53 spots after Bullard was. So those are the things on defense. On offense, you know, I will say that even though he's still just doing limited drill work after starting on NFI, even on routes on air, like watching Jaden Reed move, he looks even better than he did last year. And again, he's got to do it and he's got to stay healthy and whatever else. But there was a different energy yesterday when he was with that group. And so those are just a few of the things. One other person that very much deserves mention, though, I think is A.J. Dillon. You know, I was talking to him yesterday. He went from 252 pounds and 8% body fat to 245 pounds and 5% body fat, which,
wow.
I know that 8 pounds doesn't sound like a lot, but when you combine it with the configuration of that weight and having his body fat down to 5%, he looks explosive. He's cut up. Like, he's got, as Matt LaFleur said, you've got abs, which I knew he wasn't talking to me when he said that. And so it is really encouraging, but by the same token, this is what he needed to do, because otherwise he's not going to be here. So he's off to a strong start and he needs to sustain it.
That's good to hear about Dillon. I mean, listen, running back's a tough gig, right? There's a chance that, I mean, I hope not, but there's a chance Jacobs can miss some time, whether that's a quarter, whether it's a quarter, you never know. But it's going to be – it's a big responsibility to be a backup running back because there's a good chance you're going to be taking a lot of snaps. We'll just put it that way in today's NFL. There's a good chance you're going to be taking a lot of snaps. So that's good for him. So Homer and I started talking today about kind of the calendar, the timeline that you thought for Jordan Love to be on the field and going is kind of like the
– Yeah, the categories. Was it uh-oh, really big deal, and OS? Were those the three?
Yeah. So, and just one quick point on Dylan. Like, to your point, he started six games last year when Aaron Jones wasn't able to go, and he had 335 total rushing yards in those six games. He averaged 3.4 yards per carry. So he has to be better. If he's going to be the backup, he's got to be much better than that. My calendar for the Jordan Love watch, family night, if he's not under contract by family night and Sean Clifford trots out there with the number one offense, that's when I say, uh-oh. If he's not, Homer, help me out. I can't believe I'm asking you to help me remember what my timeline was, but I feel like you might have written it down. The next one is for the preseason opener. Is that right?
You had I thought the second one for really big deal was like August the 30th.
Because I can't remember how I did this. And you were barely awake. So, yes.
No, I think they're all crap. So that's why. Well, I was awake, but you had made fun of me by saying that I believe he has to miss the whole season. So I was still offended by that. So yeah, I lost my focus. But I know we got three. Really big and OS.
Yeah. Oh blank.
Yeah.
I think I did say now that thanks for refreshing my memory. I did say.
Family
August
night
30th because that August 30th would be a really big deal because then we're a week out from the opener and he will have missed the entire training camp. Again, I feel like I have to deliver this caveat, but I do not expect that to be the case. But if it does get to that point, that's when I say, okay, this is really big deal. And then it's gosh darn it. If they leave for Brazil and he's not on the plane. And again, I would just be absolutely floored if it got to that. I don't think I would be surprised if we got to family night and somehow the deal wasn't done. I don't think that's the likely scenario, but I wouldn't be, knocked off my feet if that turned out to be the scenario. If he's not back, even if he's not playing, if he's not back for the first preseason game, then every day that it goes on beyond that, which I think is the 10th at Cleveland.
That is correct.
Every day it goes beyond that, then it ratchets up the nervousness and the concern level.
Okay.
Family? Yeah, we talked, Homer read me the dates. I was saying if he's not back, or at least I was thinking, if he's not back by... What was the date I said, Homer?
For the regular season opener, you basically are somewhere around 17 days. If he's back July the 29th, you said he'll be fine by August the 15th. August the 5th, fine by the 22nd. And for the regular season opener, you'd like August the 19th, or it might be a couple days after that.
I think he for sure needs about 3 weeks of prep before the first game. Especially for kind of, like I was telling Homer, for the experience that he has and everything he did well last year, which was nice, but he only has so many games under his belt, right? Like, it's not like we're talking about Aaron Rodgers showing up a week and a half before going to Brazil to play. Like as much as we all like Jordan Love and think he's good and think he's going to continue to be good, there's something to be said about getting reps and kicking off rust and getting timing down for a guy that's only done it for, 19 games? So,
and the first seven not very well. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Look, I, again, I, you know, I was kind of pissed off by people who thought that I was being a Chicken Little about the possibility of him reporting to camp and not participating. I did feel a little
Can
bit
I
like
interject
I
interject with a question?
No, you may not.
All right. Okay, go ahead. Rule 5.
Rule 2 is no interrupting, I thought, that your granddaughter came up with. You don't follow that with me. But it turned out to be right. I wasn't cheering for it to be right. I'm sad for Packers fans that it was right. But this is what we do. We have to discuss possibilities, even if they're unpleasant. But I thought that was I don't want to say likely, but certainly more likely than any of the other stuff we're talking about here. Like, I would not be surprised at all if tomorrow we have breaking news that he has signed his deal. Like, I wouldn't be stunned by that. I don't think that'll be the case, but I wouldn't be stunned by that. The reason I used family night is because that would be the first time where I would be surprised enough to say, wow, this has gone longer than I thought, right? Based on everything we had been hearing leading up. But you and I were, you know, it was Tausch that was kind of pushing back on us. We were both, after Stephanie Sutton asked those questions at his camp and got shut down, you said that that made you less encouraged and optimistic. And so, again, we can only go based on where they are now. And right now, he doesn't have a deal. We had been told that it wasn't that far away. There was all this optimism. But every day that we go beyond now, you have to acknowledge, whether you're Goody or whether you're us talking about it, that you can't keep saying you're optimistic. You have to be a little, tiny little bit less optimistic with every day that passes. And we'll see how many more days pass before it gets done.
Sorry, Jace, but like, because...
No, it's fine.
Every day that goes by, we're not just talking about there's some verbiage in the contract that's off, right? Like that, like every day that goes by, it's not some small detail in the contract that they have to figure out. Every day that continues to pass, there is a major hurdle that they both can't jump over to meet in the middle on this thing. And that's what it looks like to me. Like, the further it keeps going is the more I think that we're off on a lot of money here. Like, there's a big difference in what Jordan Love's team is valuing him at and what the Packers are valuing him at. Because if they were that close, right, from what we all thought, especially with Goody's presser saying we'll get there, like, if they were that close, this thing would have been done very quick. They would have found a happy medium with the money or whatever it may be, and this thing would be done. But every day that goes on makes me believe there's a difference in the money and makes me less optimistic about it. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but that's just kind of the way I look at it.
Or, and this is, you know, again, I don't want to steal your best material, but Homer steals everybody's best material, so it fits into the show.
Thank you.
But your point about guaranteed money, like, they could agree that this is going to be a 4-year, $224 million deal, okay? If that were to be the case, that would make it $56 million a year as the average, if my math is correct. I know Pebble will check me on that. But they could disagree not on that 224 over 4 number, but they could disagree vehemently on how much of it is guaranteed. And the Packers might be trying to guarantee 140, and Jordan Love might be saying, no, it's got to be 185 or whatever else. Well, if that were the case, and again, I don't know this. This is just us talking. But if that's the case, it doesn't matter that they agree on the 224 if they were $40 million in guaranteed money separating each other. Now, again, I don't know if that's the case, but even if it's $20 million or whatever it is, as of now, whatever the differentiator is between what David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler are asking for and what the Packers are offering, they have not been able to bridge that gap structurally. And remember, Goody kept saying the word structure. And structure, in my mind, has a lot to do with what's guaranteed and what's not.
But he also said, we'll get it done, as I heard that on this show.
We'll get there. Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Just because we're a little late for the first time ever, I want to finish on total agreement that the words will differ, but I will agree with you that it goes to a new level if Jordan Love leaves camp. We would all agree on that, right?
Well,
if he leaves camp, yeah, that would be a big game changer, yeah.
Right, because then it would have proved that it's actually a hold on. All right, thanks, Jason.
All right, guys, take care. Be good.
The ESPN Wisconsin Fantasy Football League is back. Join the league with your favorite ESPN Wisconsin personalities. Right now, your chance to draft like a champ at Dave & Buster's in Tulsa, August the 1st. That's when we're having our draft, August the 1st. Callers 9 and 10, 1-800-990-3776 to the ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. You're in the league, and then you can do your research. If you have other fantasy football leagues, listen to this. Free appetizers all season long. That's what's coming up. If you have other fantasy football leagues you're in, Dave & Buster's has winning opportunities for everyone. Book your fantasy draft and get 20% off food and non-alcoholic beverages. And check, says, even free appetizers all season long. Visit dnbparty.com for draft booking details. Yes, there's more on Jordan Love next.